Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for this opportunity you have given us to study your divine word of truth. We're thankful, Lord, for this time, this moment, this hour that is now here for those who are seeking your truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Those who have a desire to be a true worshiper this evening will hear the truth proclaimed by Brother Smith. We pray, Lord, that they humble themselves and submit themselves to the authority of the Scriptures, that if they truly have a desire to be saved, they'll obey heaven's invitation that Brother Smith will extend to everyone at the conclusion of this message. Lord, if someone is listening tonight, if they have found themselves in violation of the worship that we can read about in the Bible, if they've been worshiping willfully, if they've been worshiping in vain, Lord, we pray tonight that the Scriptures turn them to the proper way you seek those who worship you, and that worship that you find acceptable is worship in the right spirit and truth according to the attitude and according to your oracles. Heavenly Father, be with Brother Smith. Have him stand bold. Have him teach those things as we can read. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Thunder. We appreciate you so very much and so thankful to have each and every person on tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're thankful to have each and every person on, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray now you open your Bible, follow along with our speaker tonight as we talk about true worship. Our speaker is in person of Brother Oprah Smith, a good friend of mine from also from my hometown, and currently speaker preacher in Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana, the Church of Christ at Rolls Royce. And we're so thankful he's accepted our invitation. So at this time, ask him to come on, Brother Oprah, tell us about this. God has settled this matter in true worship. Tell us about it.
All right. We want to thank Tommy Brooks and appreciate the invitation to be able to share with you here on tonight. And we're thankful to God just for every opportunity that we have to be able to present his truth to a world that so desperately needs to hear God's truth. Now, to expedite the time, we're going to jump right into this particular subject tonight. I've been asked to share with you concerning true worship. And as I have noticed the program, there has been some preaching already done on real worship as well as on vain worship. But tonight the discussion is centered around the idea of understanding what is true worship. Now, as it relates to the subject, true worship, I want to use the subtopic tonight, how God expects to be worshiped. Because as we look at John chapter 4, at verse 23 through 24, I believe that therein there are some rules, or there are three particular points that jump out in that particular text that help us in understanding how God expects to be worshiped. And I want to begin by saying that I really don't understand what the big idea is, because not that worshiping God isn't a big idea, because worshiping God, I believe, is the very foundation on which the whole system of worshiping God really stands. And so the reason I'm asking what's the big deal is because I cannot understand why some would find it so difficult to give God what he expects as it relates to worship. Well, you know, I've been married for some 27 years, and one thing I have learned is that if I want to please my wife, it is better for me to try to understand what she expects from me. Likewise, it's been 2,000 years since God gave us his word contained in the 66 books that we know as the Bible. And it is in the Bible that God tells us exactly what he expects. 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse number 16 and verse number 17. I believe that because God gave us his word, we don't have to wonder or speculate about what he wants, or even we don't have to try to make it so difficult in understanding how God wants to be worshiped. That means that the Bible is our source of authority as it relates to being obedient to God. That also means that we don't have to look to any other source for information on how or what pleases God. That also means tonight that if I want to know how to give God the kind of worship that he expects, that I don't have to watch BET or TBN or even the Word Network to find out what God expects. You see, tonight, if I want to give God what he expects out of worship, I just believe tonight that I can trust the Bible, and my friend, you can trust the Bible as well. You see, all of the religious confusion surrounding how God expects to be worshiped, it comes as a result of repeating old mistakes concerning worshiping God. For example, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, we read there about Cain and Abel. And we understand that Cain made the mistake of giving God what he thought rather than giving God what God required. As a response, the Bible teaches us there that God refused Cain's offering. And I believe tonight the mistake that Cain made is continuing to be made in our world today. And we also can see that mistake began in Genesis 4 and can be traced throughout the Bible. You see, Cain gave God his hands. I hope you catch that tonight. Cain gave God his hands, but God really wanted an offering like his brother Abel gave that came from his heart. The same is true of Abram. You remember Abram when God instructed Abram to go and to offer up his only son, Isaac. And remember, Abram said to Isaac, "Let's go yonder to worship." And Abram used his hands to build the altar. But his willingness to offer Isaac, watch this now, it came from his heart. And I'm not trying to get into the whole hands debate about worship, but I am saying tonight for sure that God is not concerned with hands as he is concerned with the heart. And the major problem of worship being offered in the Old Testament is seen in the fact that they regarded the outward expression of worship greater than the inward expression of the heart. Now, as it relates to how we worship God in this generation, I believe that we could be saying the same thing, and we could be making the very same mistake today. Listen to what the Bible says in the Old Testament in Amos chapter 5 at verse number 21. Amos chapter 5, verse 21, where the Bible says, and this is God speaking through Amos, he says, "I hate your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench unto me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them." And then God says, "Away, watch this now, away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the noise of your heart." You see, in Amos' day, just as in Malachi's day, God refused the worship from their hands because it was not being offered from their hearts. And if I had time tonight, I would read to you Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 10 through 17. Well, God tells Isaiah, listen to this. God tells Isaiah to tell Israel how he felt about their worship. He says, "Tell them, I have had enough of your burnt offerings, of your rams, and the fat of your well-fed beasts." And then God says, "When you come before me, who required the tramplings of my court?" God tells Isaiah to tell them, "Enough. Don't bring me anymore. Don't even pray to me because I will not listen. Wash your hands and make yourself clean." Now I want you to see tonight that here's the reason God refused their worship. He refused it because it did not come from the right source. Listen to the Bible. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, verses number 13 through 14. Well, God speaks to Isaiah and says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me, watch this now, is merely human rules that they have been taught. So what's the problem with worship today? I believe it's a repeating of old mistakes. You see, worship today is not an offering of what God expects. Now listen, friends, I'm not saying that's true of everyone, but I'm saying it's true of many, that many are just like the people in Amos' day. And God is asking, why is there a trampling of my courts filled with noise? In other words, God is asking, why is it that when people come together into my presence, that it's just simply a trampling of people coming together, and their coming together is not an offering of worship that I expect, but it is an offering of worship that seems to be filled with noise. The problem today is that many think that the more noise you make in worship, listen, many think, feel the more noise you make in worship, the more pleasing it is to God. But if I could say anything tonight concerning true worship, I would tell us and even remind some of us that we need to know that God is not in the noise business. Could this be the reason that when we look at the transition made from worship in the Old Testament to the New Testament, that God left noise coming from the instruments out of the New Testament worship, and God replaced it with the melodies that come from our heart, Ephesians 5:19. Could it be that when God observes our worship, that he doesn't hear what some offer as praise? You see, just because we like it doesn't mean that God will accept it. Remember Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, who offered a strange fire up to the Lord, and the Lord responded by sending fire down from heaven and consuming them both, and they died. Why would God respond that way? You see, the fire they offered was considered unauthorized because it did not come from the fire from the altar that was kindled by God. I believe tonight that many are making the same mistake today. Anytime you worship God in a way that comes from outside of what he's already kindled or put in the scripture and authorized, no matter how sincere you are about doing it, God will still refuse it. Why? Why would God refuse it? I believe it's because it's not what God commanded. As a result, we're hearing and seeing a lot of noise and strange fire being called worship being offered to God in many churches today. Now, with that said, let me try to move to a conclusion by telling you what God expects and will accept when it comes to worship that is offered to him. Now, in that familiar passage in John chapter 4 and verse number 23 through 24, and we don't have time to deal with the entire context there, but I do need you to see that Jesus clearly tells us what his Father expects. Notice Jesus says, but the hour cometh and is now when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Why does Jesus make this statement? And then he says, God is spirit. and they that worship him, watch this word, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me say quickly that what Jesus does in this passage is announce that as it relates to worship, a transition is now coming. He tells his woman at Jacob's well that a transition in where God is worshiped and how God is worshiped and who may worship God was now taking place in her very presence. He tells her that worship would not be based upon the Old Testament requirements of fulfilling duties of the hand. He tells her, number one, the object of worship will be the same. The object of worship, Jesus tells her, is the Father or God. And tonight we need to know that in order for our worship to be accepted by God, it must be about God. I need to say that to you again, because true worship is about God. If it's not about God, then Jesus is clearly telling us that he will not accept it. Now, what do we mean worship being about God? That means that God must be, listen now, the only object, because he alone is worthy to be worshiped. You know, my friends, too much of our worship today is self-centered, and it's focused on us rather than on God. We need to know tonight that worship is not about us. It's about God. He is a jealous God and doesn't like it when he's not the object. In fact, when you go back to the Old Testament, I mean, that's the very first command that God gives. God wanted Israel to know that I am the only object. Don't even try to make anything like me. I'm saying tonight that I think the mistake of many people and many churches who are attempting to worship God in truth and in spirit begins and fails when we don't realize that God is the object of our worship. By object, I mean that all the glory belongs to God. By object, I mean that all the focus of the heart is on him. His presence is the greatest presence in the place of worship. He is the object of the singing. Now, we understand that there are four elements of worship that we see clearly shown in the New Testament. Now, why look at the elements of worship in the New Testament? Because we understand that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse number 6 that God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the old, for the old kill it, but the Spirit gives life. So when we want to know what the elements of New Testament worship are and what pleases God, we must look at what is found in the New Testament. In the New Testament, as it relates to singing, God is the object. As relates to our praying and worship, prayers should be offered to God. As relates to us coming to give back to God, we are giving, and giving God ought to be the object. When it comes to communion, yes, we come to reflect upon the death of Jesus. But in worship, we understand that we worship God because God gave his only begotten Son, that we might have life. And let me say this, the fifth element of worship, which we see in Scripture in the New Testament, is the preaching aspect of worship. I wish I had time to just deal with that, But I want to tell you this, that when it comes to preaching, understand something, that even in the preaching aspect of worship, everything that we do still centers around the fact that God gave us the Son. In our preaching, we're lifting up Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. In our preaching, we are focusing on the fact that because of the sacrifice that was made by God, that Jesus should be accepted based upon the very fact of the gospel that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again. Everything we do in worship is because God made it possible. Now, when God is not the center of attention in our worship, I'm saying to us very simply tonight that when God is not the object of our worship, then God will reject our worship. Now, secondly, as we move, Jesus tells the woman there at Jacob's well that there is an objective in worship. Not only is God the object, but there is an objective in worship. What's the objective? The objective in worship is to give unto God worship that is worthy of his goodness. It's not, listen, friends, it's not about getting, but it's about giving. Once again, we have changed the object and the objective of worship from God, and I believe we placed it too much on us. Worship is not about getting something, but worship is about giving something. The objective of the worshiper is to celebrate the object that is being worshiped. It's what Israel did wrongly before the golden calf. Remember Israel, when Moses was too long upon the mountain, they celebrated the object that Aaron made, the golden calf. Because Aaron told them it was that calf that brought them out of Egypt. They made worshiping the calf their objective and their object. Of course, this displeased both God and Moses. Likewise, I'm saying tonight that God is displeased whenever the object of worship is not about celebrating him. Psalms chapter 96, verse number 8 tells us to ascribe or give to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship fails when the objective is getting something and not giving something. Worship is not about getting our praise on. It's about giving our praise on. One of the repeating themes of the Old Testament worship was, oh, let us give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For his goodness, for his mercy, for his loving kindness. We don't worship in order to get something. We worship because we are thankful, because we know that the calf did not bring us out of Egypt, but the Lamb of God did. And I will say this tonight, that you cannot really worship God with the objective of giving God worship and not receive something from God. When we worship God, when we give him the worship that he requires, yes, we receive edification and exhortation in return. But the objective is not to show up in the house in order to get something. The object is to come, and the objective is to come and give something. I say this to you in conclusion. You know, God is, worshiping God is an obligation. And that's the last thing that Jesus says to this woman at Jacob's well. He says that worship is an obligation because it's something that we must do. Must is a verb describing an action that must be done. Worship is the subject. Worship is the action. Worship is not an option. worship is not a, listen, it's not a spectator event where we come to observe someone else doing it. If there is a praise team, and I'm not advocating praise teams, I believe this, however, if there is a praise team, then everybody in the assembly is on the team. You don't have to audition in a solo to make the praise team. Everybody in the assembly is on the praise team. Every worship activity involves every member of the church. There are some things we all must do. Listen, we all must sing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. No one can sing for me. We all must give. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1 and 2. We all must pray. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. We all must observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30. And listen, friend, we must all participate in the preaching aspect of worship. How do we do that? How do I participate in the preaching aspect of worship? Well, friend, we do that in our reception of how we receive the word. James chapter 2 at verse number 19. We must receive the word of God, the engrafted word of God that is able to save our soul with meekness, that is with the right heart. Not only that, but the word must also be received by the worshiper as God's word and not the word of men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. If I could impress anything upon your hearts tonight, all of the other acts of worship require us to speak to God. Preaching is the time that God speaks to us. Look at what we have done. We have allowed the singing now to last longer than the preaching. Why? I believe it's because some would rather hear from the song leader more than from the word of God. We have taken the pulpit from the altar so the praise team can have more room to perform. However, tonight, worship is not about performing for the audience so that they can give a hand clap of praise to God, when the hand clap is really not being given to God, it's being given to the song leader, or even sometimes to the preacher. And we fail to realize the obligation of the worship and the objective of the worship, and the object of the worship must be God. Jesus said, not everyone's worship will be accepted, because God will only accept true worship from true worshipers. Not hand service, not lip service, not pretense and performance, not strange noises and strange fire. God wants worship that is offered in truth, which originates from his word and in the spirit, resulting in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And watch this now, not the guidance of the what some are calling in the church now, the hymnist or the psalmist or the musicologist or the drill team or the praise team or the worship team. No, God wants a worship that is being directed by the Holy Spirit, and that comes from the truth that's found in his word. Jesus tells this woman, listen, there is a transition in worship coming. The object is God. The objective is celebrating God. The obligation is to offer the kind of worship that pleases God and no one else. Most churches are offering worship, as Isaiah said, are merely the rules of men. Instruments and music are rule of men. Praise teams, drills teams, or a rule of men. Hymnologists, musicologists are rules for men. The mixing of spiritual songs and secular music is a rule of men. And just because it sounds good doesn't mean it sounds good to God. If it's not what God commanded, then it's just making noise. What God is interested in as it relates to worship is a heart that is humble and contrite in offering him what he expects with the right attitude. So in conclusion tonight, the question we need to ask ourselves is, as it relates to worship, whose rules am I following? Am I giving God what he requires, or am I simply following rules given from me? And my friends, I'm not questioning whether or not you are sincere. The Bible doesn't tell us that Cain was not sincere, or Nadab was not sincere, or Abihu was not sincere. But I'm saying tonight, as it relates to giving God what he expects, sincerity is not enough. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. True worship requires us to follow God's rules. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8-9, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, because their teachings are merely the rules or the commandments of men. What should I do if I discover tonight that my worship is not in line with what God requires? I need to repent. You need to find the church that we can read about in the Bible that worship God the way God desires to worship. And you need to study with that church in your city. There is a Church of Christ. And I believe if you visit there, my friend, you will find some people who understand that God is the object of worship. And they will share with you that the objective of worship is to give to God, and the obligation is to lift him up. Find that church in your city, and by faith, my friend, I believe that you will find that your worship will line up with what God would have you to do. If you need salvation tonight, it's simple. You hear God's word tonight. You've heard it. Believe it with all of your heart. Be willing to repent. Be willing to change. Be willing to confess that Christ is the Son of God. And friend, if you are baptized in water for the remission of all of your sins, the Lord will add you to that one church that you can read about in your Bible that we terminologically refer to as the Church of Christ. May God bless you tonight, my friend, and may you seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. May God bless you, and may God keep you.
Thank you, Brother Alton. We very much appreciate the lesson. You've really done well on this topic. We are very thankful that you've taken the time to give us these details that we all need to hear in the Church of Christ, as well as those who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ. And we all have to understand that God is the object of worship, and our objective is to worship him. He gets all the glory and honor and praise. You've done a great job, my brother. Appreciate you so very much. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we put this call on with you in mind, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Well, we do follow that New Testament pattern of worship, what he talked about, singing, without the help of the mechanical instruments of music, taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, hearing the preached word, giving, these type of things that were done by the Christians in the New Testament. If you want to be safe in terms of your salvation, you don't want to take a chance of following rules or commandments of men, for Jesus has already said, that's considered vain worship. That's what we're seeing with all these churches on every corner. You know, got the instrument of music in them, doing all these things that are not authorized by God. We wanted you to know this. We pray that you're considering becoming a worshiper, a true worshiper. You've heard about vain worship if you've been listening to it. You've heard about real worship. You've heard about ignorant worship this week. We're saying true worship is important for you to save your soul. If you're on the call tonight, you said, Brother Brooks, I want to be a member of the Church of Christ where we worship according to the New Testament, and get back with the person who invited you to the call. Tell them you want to become a member of that true church. You can read about it in your Bible. That is the Church of Christ. Now, you also may have questions for us. You can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you have questions, if you desire further Bible studies, or someone, no matter where you are in the listening audience, we will make sure we're going to preach to you on a sound congregation in your location, and we can get further studies for you and assist you with your baptism. If you desire to be baptized, we'll make that happen. We'll do everything we can to help you save your soul. So we thank you for joining. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you tonight for this day you've given us. We thank you for your blessing and waking us up this morning, giving us another opportunity to get our lives right with you. Lord, we thank you so very much for loving us, for loving the world, giving your only son. And, we're so thankful he gave his life on the cross and shed the blood and washed our sins away in baptism that adds it. Also, that would purchase his church, the Church of Christ. We thank you for that, Father. We pray your blessings upon Brother Smith and his ministry. Those, as he continue to work in the ministry, we pray you bless him and give him a long life, Lord, to continue to preach this truth without addition nor subtraction. Lord, we pray for our effort here through the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. Thank you for our visitors. We pray that they know what we teach on this program. We speak the truth in love, but the truth must be told, Father. We do that in honor of you to recognize the importance of us standing firm on what the truth is. We know your word has settled these matters, Lord, and we're just bringing it to the attention of the listening audience. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Great week. This week we had a great week. Next week we got a great week coming up. Brother Barry Gainey from Wichita, Kansas. You're going to talk about denominational churches. It's something you need to hear about. A lot of problems here related to all these different churches, a church on every corner. You need to know more about that. Tuesday night, Brother Mel Futrell from Birmingham, Alabama, about instrumental music and worship. You want to talk about why we don't use pianos. Why don't we have guitar and get filled and all those things, drums and all that in worship. We'll talk about that, Brother Mel Futrell. Brother Carlos Barrientos, from Gonzales, Louisiana, talking about the sinner's prayer. And Brother Mike Dixon coming back on, talking about women preachers on all of that in Mississippi. We got a lot of women preaching. We even got women elders now. See that in the Lord's church. That's sad. That's a sad thing to see. The women preachers. You need to know about that. And then closing us out next Friday night, Brother Robert Harper, you know, about prosperity preachers. You know, guys like Osteen, guys that preaching prosperity. This is not about what we're going to have in this world. Our treasures must be laid up in heaven. And that's what we're going to be talking about, the dangers of these kind of preachers and promoting prosperity. So you don't want to miss. We appreciate you all for being on our call. Pray you have a great weekend this weekend. Enjoy your time in worship on Sunday. We pray for our visitors. Please, 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 listen carefully. It's one day, surely, you're here with press the dying pillow. Your eyes will be closed for the last time. And your tongue will be silenced by death. But it was Jesus who said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You don't want that to happen to you. And God bless each of you. Thank those who are supporting our call each night. Thank you for the support through prayers, through attendance, financial support, whatever you're doing to help us with this outreach. We've been going since the month of May. We're going to continue in the month of January 2021. Y'all pray for us. Continue to bless us. A lot of work going into this. We love you. Good night.